I want to begin today's homily with a question. How has the resurrection transformed your life? We're a very tactile people. We learn from touching, and we like reading things that we can do. And so the season of Lent is really a much easier time for us than the season of Easter, because with Lent, you know, we begin with the ashes, ashes, and so we usually touch or play with the ashes after we've had them on our forehead for a little while. You know, we can touch it, we can feel it, and usually during Lent, we're asked to pray, and that's something that we can do, and we're asked to fast, and that's something we can do, or maybe I should say we could at least try to do. We don't always fast so well, but that's another story. But we can do the fasting, okay? So we can do the prayer thing. We can do the fasting. We can do the almsgiving. You know, we become a little more generous in the season of Lent, because those are all things that we can touch and feel and do, and we can. Like, we spend a lot of this season, we spend the whole season of Lent focusing on sin and how sin has dominion in our life and the dangers and the consequences of sin. So for us as Catholics, Lent is a little bit of an easier season than Easter, because we spend 40 days and we get all dressed up again. We put on our pastel colors for Easter Sunday, and we come to church, and it's very bright and wonderful and great and fantastic. And we go home, and we have our ham, and we have our family, and 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock rolls around. Everybody goes home. It was wonderful, and we get up the next day, and the next day is Monday, and we go back to work. And we kind of say, oh, the resurrection, that was nice, that was great, and we move on. No! No! Easter is a season. Is not a Sunday. And in this season of Easter and on these Sundays, we are hearing different accounts of the resurrection. Last Sunday, we heard the account of the resurrection of the disciples locked in the upper room. And Jesus appears, they're scared. Jesus appears and says, peace be with you. Now, in that upper room, Thomas is not there. And so the disciples tell Thomas, hey, we saw the risen Lord. And Thomas says, unless I can put my fingers into the wounds and touch everything, I don't believe this. And then a few days later, they're in the room locked again. And Jesus appears again and lets Thomas put his finger in his wounds. And so last week we got an account of the resurrection. This Sunday we receive another account of the resurrection. And today's encounter of the resurrection, today's account of the resurrection is a very important one because there's a lot happening in this gospel. So we have to understand that the apostles have now left Jerusalem, and they really don't know what the heck is going on. Okay, they've seen Christ, but they're confused, and so they end up traveling from Jerusalem back to Galilee, and they're hanging out kind of in this confused, dazed state as not knowing what to do. And so what happens is that Peter they're just sitting there, you know, looking at the Sea of Galilee, and they're going, okay, well, let's do what we know. Let's go back to life as we knew it. And so they were fishermen. You know, maybe this is the Monday of Easter, let's say. The Monday of Easter. We've had the Sunday, and now we're at the Monday. And we get up and we go, okay, let's go back to life as it was, which is I get up and on Monday I go to work because nobody, you know, work is not going to stop because of the resurrection. You know, I still got to go. I still have a boss. I still have bills. I still have a mortgage payment. You know, the bills don't stop, Father. I still have to pay them. And so Peter does the same thing. He's like, okay, I'm just going back to what I know. And he goes. And it's exactly at that moment that Christ appears. And Peter, being very much Peter, when John says, it's the Lord, Peter, once again, acting without thinking, just jumps into the water and goes swimming to the Lord, you know, excited to see him. But it's interesting, this next discussion that Peter has with Jesus is important also for us. Because, you know, in going back to the way we know life, sometimes we can go back to kind of the comforts also of our own life, of our own sins. You know, Lent, as I said, we focus on repentance, and so we do everything to try to get a little better. And maybe as we go through Lent, you know, we make some spiritual progress, and we do better with some sins. But then Easter comes, and we kind of put Lent away, and we move on. But so as we see this discussion that Peter has with Jesus, is around a charcoal fire. Well, when is the last time we heard of a charcoal fire? The charcoal fire goes back to the charcoal fire that had outside of the house of the high priest when Jesus was arrested. You remember the story of the Passion. Jesus is arrested. He's taken to the high priest Caiaphas's house. And as he's taken into the house and goes through a mock trial, a mockery of a trial, Peter knows the high priest, and so he's allowed into the courtyard, and he's sitting by a charcoal fire. And it's by that charcoal fire that he's asked three times, don't you know this guy that's inside the house? And you know, he immediately starts saying, I don't know this guy, I don't know anything. Then he's asked again by the charcoal fire, and he goes, no, I don't know this guy. And then the third time he's asked, he begins to swear, you know, jumping up and down, no, I don't know this man. And he runs, and Jesus looks at him, and he runs. And it's interesting that Jesus meets with Peter again at a charcoal fire. And he asked the question three times, do you love me? But Peter is not the same. You see, when you hear about Peter previous to this, you hear about a Peter who is very sure of himself. Who, when Jesus says, you know, you will deny me three times, Peter says, no, I'll die with you. You know, he's very sure of himself. Now we find a Peter who is a little bit more humble, who recognizes a little more that maybe, just maybe, he hasn't loved the Lord as much as he should. Maybe, just maybe, he has some imperfections, some imperfect love. And so Jesus in order to undo Peter's denial, three-time denial, he asked the question of Peter, do you love me? He asked it three times. And on the third time, Peter gets a little insulted, you know, but then he remembers, and in his answer, he says, Lord, you know. He says, you know I love you imperfectly. And that's when Jesus says, follow me. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, has the resurrection transformed our life? Have we gone back to just doing what we were doing? And nothing happened. Easter, that was nice. But my dear brothers and sisters, the early Christians, their lives were transformed. In other words, you and I cannot go back, or should not go back, to living as we were living, to acting as we were acting, because the resurrection has happened. And because the resurrection has happened, it calls us to live completely and radically different than we did. But the temptation is to go back to what we know. So the question becomes, okay, Father, that's great. Very nice. Good theological words. You made biblical connections. Very good. A plus, Father. Good job, theology. You know your biblical theology. Fantastic. But what the heck does this have to do with my life? Or how the heck can my life be transformed? Because I still have to go to work. I still have to do all of those things. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, our life is transformed inasmuch as we allow the Lord into our life. Our life is transformed inasmuch as we allow the resurrection to change the way we live, to change the way we encounter the world, to change the way we encounter each other. How can we say the resurrection has happened, but go out of here and treat our brothers and sisters the same way we were treating them before the resurrection happened? How can we say the resurrection has happened and we go back to our same sins? We pick them up as if, okay, now we go back. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, unless we allow the Lord in, then yes, we will go back to everything as we know it. And our lives will always be the same. Are we willing to allow the resurrection to transform us, to change our minds, to change our way of thinking, to change the way that we see and do everything? Or are we going back to fishing? We can go back to fishing. Father, I don't fish. You can go back to working. Go back. But then, my dear brothers and sisters, we will always be the same. And so as we progress through this season of the resurrection, let us truly use this opportunity to invite the Lord into our hearts, to unlock. There are places that in our hearts that we keep locked up. The Lord wants into those places so that those places can be healed, so that we can encounter hope. And so today, as we come to this Eucharist, the Lord comes knocking on the door of your heart. Are you going to let him in? Are you going to allow him to transform your life? Or are you going out of this door and going right back to the world that you know?